Amen. CLCC, how are you doing today? Whoop, yeah. Today's a good day. Sunday. I mean, it's always a good day on Sunday, I think. Always a little tougher to wake up in the morning, though, for Sundays for some reason. I don't know. I think it's an enemy attack, I feel like, sometimes. Maybe you don't get that, but I'm like, Sunday is the hardest day to wake up. I just want to sleep. And I'm like, no, that's the enemy. That's the flesh. Got to shake that off sometimes. Get out of that mindset. Focused onto His glory and what He has in store for us today. Amen. God's got some good stuff in store for us today. So I want to greet my Facebook friends and strangers. So I want to welcome you to CLCC. We're doing a Facebook Live presentation. So I just want to make sure that you are blessed today. And I know you'll be encouraged by the word the Lord has given to me today for you as well as the CLC family. So, an encouraging word today, but it comes with a question. It comes with a question. And the question is, are you willing to keep going? Are you willing to keep going? So let's just pray right now as we ask Heavenly Father to come in here and do some significant things. Father, we just thank you right now that you are going to communicate clearly through me what you want to this congregation, to my Facebook family and friends. Lord, we thank you that you have such great things in store for us, such great things of destiny and hope and healing. Lord, we thank you for all those great things. And Lord, today we open up our hearts today just to be able to receive that. We open up our hearts today to be able to receive great things from you because you love to give good gifts to your children. And Lord, we stand on the promises that all of your promises are yes and amen. And Father, be with us here today. Help me to communicate this message clearly for the family of believers here and for those of us listed on Facebook. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, are you willing to keep going? Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel 30. And before I get to this passage, give you a little time to get there, unless you have your Bible app, and then you're like, bloop, up, there it is. Boy, that was quick. Tell you what, I remember back in the day in Sunday school and things like that, you're like rustling through the pages, table of contents, rustling through. You're like, oh, there's Peter. Peter's back. Oh, gotta go back Old Testament. You know, you kind of give it, or you do the Psalms thing. You're like, middle of the Bible, Psalms. Okay, is it before Psalms or after Psalms? That's how we learn in Sunday school to do those things. What? 1 Samuel 30. So 1 Samuel 30 is what we're going. So I want to give you a little bit of info about who we're going to be talking about. And if you've already turned there, you know who it's going to be about. It's going to be about David himself. David. A lot of things about David. You know, we've heard a lot of stories. We grew up with a lot of stories. I mean, you know, David anointed king, you know. It's like in front of all of his brothers, the little run of the family, the one forgotten, the one left shepherds and the sheep. Tending the sheep out there. I know, I get a little tongue-tied. My wife's laughing at me. It's okay. I still love you. Tending the sheep in the fields. And so he's out there. Father forgot him and everything else. Samuel's like, hey, you know, don't you have another son or anything like that? Brings him in. He's the one anointed king. And, you know, kind of were thinking, what was David thinking at that moment? You're like, hey, you know, I'm going to be king. No, probably not. And then we hear about other stories about David. David and Goliath, big one, you know. A classic. You know, David gets this smooth stone with slingshot. Whoo! Ping! And then giant falls down, you know. All that great stuff. I just wondered, that one thing that always puzzled me about this, and it, Scripture never says, is Goliath was a large man. We know that. Very large man. Over 9 feet tall. He had a huge sword. And David was, you know, younger. He was much younger. I'm just wondering how he picked up that sword to slay the giant. I'm just wondering. You know, he's like, hey, guys, can you help me pick up the sword? He's like dragging it along across. You know, I mean, I'm just wondering what happened to this guy. Maybe that's just me. But I'm like, I wonder what happened in the details of that. Peloton. Maybe. After that, David really grew some strength, maybe, from this Peloton. So, We know about that story. And then another story that comes up, David and Bathsheba. Oh, yeah, that's a one. That's one you got to watch out for. Some things happen in that story. But I find it interesting, even through all these stories, and there's many more, that what God says about him, okay? God says to him in 1 Kings 14:8, God says, "My servant David, who kept my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing only what was right in my eyes." Wow. How would you like God to say that about you? Ooh, come on. It says in 1 Kings 15:3, "His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God." Now we're talking about David's grandson, "as the heart of David, his forefather, had been." Another reference to David, how his heart was for the Lord. One more verse about him, 1 Kings 15:5. "For David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all of his days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite." Except. But even though he had that thing that happened, that he brought on himself, still is considered a man after God's own heart, a king after God's own heart. And David didn't have it easy either. We think about all these wonderful stories. Oh, David, anointed king, you know, kills Goliath, and all of a sudden, yay, he's king. I mean, he's king then, yay. And we forget about all the things that David had to go through to get there. Was he willing to keep going? Because David didn't have an easy life. And I'm just going to name a few things. I mean, growing up as an outcast to even his own family, father just puts him out there with the shepherds and the sheep. Going out there, no one really worries about you, no one really cares. Forgetting about him. I mean, it's bad when you forget about your child being left at church and you go home without them. I mean, that's bad. But I'm just saying, I'm not mentioning any names or anything. And, you know, there's grace for people that do that, even pastors, just saying. I mean, it was way worse than that. I mean, but don't feel bad. If you've done that, I just want to say, if you've done that, even Mary and Joseph did that, and they had Jesus. So at least you weren't raising Jesus. So, I mean, I don't know how you say that to, you know, oh, God, we lost your child. What are we going to? Where is he, Lord? I mean, you know. And he at least left him at church, which is a safe place. So I'm just saying. So at least you didn't lose Jesus. For any of those that might have left a child behind on a Sunday, it's okay. There's grace. I'm going to pay for that later. Probably at lunchtime today when I go over to someone's house. So anyways, I'll just keep going. Also, so David didn't have an easy life. So he was constantly on the run before he was king, if we remember correctly. Being chased by his father-in-law, which I might be chased by later. So I might be on the run. I might need to find a cave somewhere. He might be throwing spears at me later, too. No, he won't. But constantly on the run. I mean, his father-in-law tried to kill him a few times. A few times. Could you imagine that? It's like you were in the royal house, in this place, and then the one person you're trying to please, the one person you're trying to do good for, is then literally just trying to kill you. I mean, he also had different things that happened. Great victories, but great sorrows also. I mean, if you read the Psalms, you see where his heart is. It's broken. It's torn at times. Great pain. Because of this, he had a baby that died. I mean, how many? That's tragic. A father-in-law that wanted to kill him, many attempts on his life. He was not able to build the temple of God. And that was something he longed to do. He looked forward to doing that. When he brought the Ark of the Covenant back, he wanted to build a temple for God. He wanted to make it a grand thing. And then God said, "No, you have too much blood on your hands." Man, what a disappointment. And that's what you want. It's just, you're looking forward to, like, yes, I get to do something great. I'm a king. I can do this. But then God says, no, you can't do this. Disappointment right there. Huge disappointment. Seeing part of his kingdom killed while he was king because of mistakes that he did. Having his own son wanting to kill him and take away the kingdom. Absalom. David didn't have it easy. And one of the most horrific things in his life, the death of his best friend and brother-in-law, Jonathan. David didn't have it easy. But he kept going. How many of you can say today, I want to keep going? No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, you got to keep going. Because there's something good on the other side. So chapter 30, verse 1. It's a little background. David was running from Saul. He'd been anointed king. He's with some of his mighty men, and they were living in Philistine country to stay away from Saul, so Saul wouldn't pursue him in Philistine country. So in verse 1, I'm just going to read it. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided Negev and Ziklag, and they had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him, each one of them bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. What a tough place to be in. Great pain, great sorrow. People around you that have flocked to you, that you turned to be their leader, now ready to kill you because of what had happened. And no fault of your own either. No fault of his own. I was in a tough place, wouldn't you say? That's a very tough place. A lot of pain. I mean, I would say that some of us today are maybe feeling some of the same pain. Not quite on that measure, but there are some things happening in people's lives today that are significant. And they feel like crying out till they don't have any more strength. It says that his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. That's real sadness right there. And some of us might be like that today or on Facebook. Some of us might be going through something that we've wept and wept and we have no strength left to weep anymore. I feel like giving up. I feel like saying, forget it, I'm done. I'm done. I just can't take it. I love it in the last part of that verse of 6. It says, but David found strength and the Lord is God. Whenever these storms of life, these things happen to us, when there's great pain, great sorrow, great things that we need, we can always strengthen ourselves in Jesus. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, he doesn't always calm the storm, but he will always never leave you nor forsake you. He will always stick closer to you than anything else or anybody else. Are you willing to keep going? Are you willing to keep going, even though this stuff is happening? One of the great examples of my life of this is my mom and dad. And you might know the story about it. I've talked about them before. The story of my father, who had a stroke while on the operating table because a pregnant nurse bumped a laser while they were cutting, and it cut off an artery to his brain. Had a stroke right there on the table. And that stroke left him with a fifth grade understanding capacity. And he was in a wheelchair with his left side was his only side that could be able to be used. And he was right-handed, so he had to relearn everything. My father and mother, through it all, even though those things happened, continued to be a blessing for their home and their church. Even though this tragedy had happened, and it should have destroyed our family, but instead it gave a legacy, a slash testimony of the grace of the goodness of God, including all the setbacks and obstacles, God still did great things. I think our live went down, though. Don't you just love technology? Get into a good spot, it's like, and then technology happens. Yeah, yeah. And that just kind of, you just leave it right there, and just everyone's like, well, what happened? You know, it's like, you left me in a rough spot. You're like talking about these things that are serious. It's like, where do we go from here? So my mother and father, great examples. They continue to be a blessing in their home and community. Even though the tragedy happened to my father and to the family, it should have destroyed the family. But instead it gave way to a legacy slash testimony of grace and the goodness of God. Even though there was obstacles, even though there were setbacks, he was still good. And that's what we relied on. Now, even though my father was not healed, and he never recovered from this, he continued to pursue and pray for others and be a blessing at the capacity that he had. And he did that until he eventually passed away. But in passing, he left a legacy slash testimony with his family and his God. He was willing to keep going. Even though the stuff that he went through, he was willing to keep going. No matter what happens in your life, are you willing to keep going? It could be sickness. Could be disease, family issues, tragedy even, unmet expectations, pain, headache, and heartache with it, broken promises, poverty, even death. There's a lot of things out there that are happening. Death, maybe divorce, suicide, all these things are real and all these things have pain with them attached. Are you willing to keep going? Don't let today's pain stop you from tomorrow's miracles. I'm going to say it again. Don't let today's pain stop you from tomorrow's miracles. If you're in a place where you feel like you can't see the trees from the forest because you're at a place it's so bad right now, I want to encourage you that don't let today's pain keep you from tomorrow's miracles. Don't let it. And for some people that have been going through something for a while, maybe you've been going through something for a while, you've been praying for healing, been asking for different things to happen in your family, in your walk, I would say to you, don't let yesterday's disappointments stop you from today's breakthrough. Don't let yesterday's disappointments stop you from today's breakthrough, because you could have a breakthrough today that would change your life drastically and significantly. Are you willing to keep going? Pastor Kurt, are you willing to keep going? Pastor Steve, are you willing to keep going? I mean, we all have days. We all have struggles. We all have pain. We all have different things that happen to us all the time. And sometimes most of us might never know. But I want to encourage you, whatever's happening in your life, are you willing to keep going? The answer is yes. Because when we read on in that story about David, he strengthened himself in the Lord. And then when he did that, his answer came. And he went back to the Amalekites and took back everything that was taken from them. Everything. Everything was still alive. Everything was still there. And God was faithful to give them back everything that they had lost. If you are willing to keep going, God will give you breakthrough. So if you want to go ahead and play, I'm going to play a worship song right now. Oh, that's right. I knew that. That's true. Facebook is, it's done again, so it didn't go through again. So love technology. Oh, sure. So what we're going to do next is we're just going to do a little bit of worship. I always like to do worship because it gets our hearts in tune with His. And I don't know, I know there's a lot of things that are going on in our church right now, a lot of significant things in people's lives. And maybe today you've come and you're like, I need a breakthrough. I need God to do something because it can't still stay the same way it is. And what I want to encourage you to do is when the music starts, to stand up and declare while worshiping to your problem, to the enemy, to that pain, and to the Lord God Almighty that I am not willing to give up. I am willing to keep going. Whatever it is, I am willing to keep going. And yes, it's painful. There are some things that are very painful. And maybe you've been doing things for years, praying for years, interceding for years, and you still haven't seen it. What I would say to you is from my own experience, a man whose father was his life that became very different after the stroke. Even though things never actually changed for him, God is still good. He is still on the throne, and I will continue to serve him whether or not my situation changes. Whether or not I am healed, whether or not I get victory in this area that I see it one day, whether or not this continues to happen, I will still serve the Lord. I am willing to keep going. Because if I do, there's a testimony and a legacy that I will leave with those around me, saying that he had or she had a heart after God. So as we just play this song right now, if that's you, you're saying, I'm willing to keep going. no matter what's happening. I want you to stand and worship with me today.
Sons of this house.
So the Word tells us that we need to believe that God is, that He exists. We here believe that. But I feel like the Lord is saying, the second part of that verse is that you need to believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I feel like the Lord is saying some of you here this morning struggle with believing that I am good and that I have good gifts for you. You might believe I have a good gift for somebody sitting in front of you or next to you or beside you or behind you. But when it comes to yourself, you struggle with believing that I have something good for you. And I feel like the Lord is saying today, those of us that believe that need to ask His forgiveness and position ourselves to receive that reward, that good thing that He has for us, and it's there for us today. So, Father, we come before You and we thank You for Your Word that tells us that we need to believe that You are a good God. And I ask Your forgiveness for any time that I think I'm not sure You're a good God. Forgive me for that. And that You have good things for Your children. So, Father, I ask that You would forgive me for any time that I have believed that You had good for others, but not for me. And I choose today to renounce that lie and instead believe the truth that You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek You, that You are a good God, and this morning You have something good to give me. And Father God, You know what is so amazing? Just like those of us that are good mothers, good fathers, good friends, we know what those we love need the most. And we don't always have the resources to give them that thing they need the most, but You do. So this morning, You know what each of us needs the most, and that's the thing You're extending to us today. Wow. Wow. So we receive the good gift that our good Father has for us today.
Are you willing to keep going?